and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Habibi ilahi al alamin abul qasim al mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة، فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
When we examine the Quran, we'll notice immediately that the Quran tells us as individuals and as communities that one of our primary objectives in this life is for us, both on an individual level and on a social level, societal level, to cooperate with one another and strive with one another in order to build an ethically based order, in order to build a society that is based on ethics and based on morals, divine morals, morals and ethics that we are taught from God. So this is one of the primary objectives of human beings, in order to build an ethically based order in this life. In order to do that, there is a very important aspect of our lives that has to be there, and that is responsibility and accountability. Some of you brothers and sisters may recall last week in my talk, I spoke a little bit about personal responsibility, how to be successful in life, and I gave three steps, three very important steps. One of them is accountability. And I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds each and every one of us as individuals, we are held accountable in regards to this objective, in regards to our life, in regards to every moment that we spend in this life, from the moment that we're born until the moment that we die. We're held responsible. We're held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we notice that the Qur'an, a great deal of the Qur'an focuses on issues of accountability, to remind us that we are accountable. And I said that the essence of taqwa, which the Qur'an always encourages us to try to attain, the essence is what? It's responsibility. It's knowing what your duty is, what your responsibility is, both towards your Creator, to God, and towards the rest of creation. And so a large portion of the Qur'an, a large portion of the prophetic tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, emphasizes on the notion of accountability and responsibility. And thus, one of the primary focuses of the Qur'an is on eschatology, belief in a life after death, belief in a hereafter, belief in accountability after death, that we are here for a certain amount of time and then we move from this life to the hereafter, to another life. And in fact, the belief in the hereafter serves as a very important prerequisite and condition to belief in God. They're linked. Our belief in God is linked to our belief in the hereafter and accountability. They both go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. Because without belief in the hereafter, without belief in accountability, then it does not make sense for God to create this entire universe and to create humanity and the entire creation and for us to live. Because there's nothing afterwards. There's no point. So the hereafter and belief specifically in individual accountability gives meaning to our lives. It gives an objective to us in this life. And so belief in the hereafter is a basis for belief in God. In fact, we notice, if we examine our lives and every aspect of our life, we'll notice that our entire life and every aspect of our life originates from God and is on what? Is on a journey of reversion back to God. And we know, we originate from God and we return to God. So we can think of our entire life as what? Not as a cycle, not as circular, no, because it's not repetitive. Islam is not a religion that believes in a repetitive cycle where we are brought to life once again and the cycle continues. No, it's linear, but what? It can be thought of as going down a specific street and then making a U-turn and coming back. We originate from God and then we go and we return back to God. And the Quran tells us this very clearly in many verses. The very famous verse that perhaps all of us have memorized, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? He says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to God, we originate from God, and to God we will return. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Walillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wa ila Allahi turja'ul umur." And to God everything will return. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Afahasibtum annama khalaqnakum abathan wa annakum ilayna la turja'un?" Do you think, do you really think, Allah poses a very beautiful question. It's a powerful question. He says, do you really think that we have created you and the entire creation in vain, without purpose, and that you will not be returning to us? Because this is how a lot of people live their lives. A lot of people, they live their lives with no purpose. There's no objective. They don't believe in a hereafter. They don't believe in a sense of accountability. And when you don't believe in accountability, what happens? Everything goes. If you don't believe in a life after death, if you believe that it's just this life, right? Even if you believe in God, even if you believe that God is the one who created you, but that there's no hereafter, this belief in God, firstly, this belief in God is what? Is limited, it's problematic. Secondly, there's no purpose, there's no objective. Anything goes. Anything is okay. You want to do everything in your capacity to live life to the fullest. Do everything, because that's it. This is your only chance. You only have one chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you really think that we have created you in vain and that you will not be returning to us? And thus, when we come to the Qur'an focuses on eschatology, focuses on death and life after death. And there are a great amount of verses that are dedicated to eschatology. A lot of the Qur'an, if you notice the Qur'an, a large portion of the Qur'an, especially if you look at the concentration in the last chapters of the Qur'an. In the 30th juzu, the small chapters, many of them they discuss eschatology, they discuss death and life after death. There's emphasis, and so some people they might say, why? I mean, why is the Qur'an always talking about death? It's always talking about life after death, it's always talking about these apocalyptic events and how the world is going to end, and how there's heaven and hell and accountability and all of that. Why is there so much focus? The reason, very simply, is because we're forgetful. Because we forget. We tend to forget. We preoccupy ourselves with lots of things in life. With our education, with our career. You notice this in the lives of people. I talk from personal experiences. When it comes to education, sometimes I notice myself overwhelmed. I feel like There's nothing else. It's as if there's nothing else except the focus of my paper or my exam or what have you. And a lot of people, they feel like this sometimes. Whether it's with your job or with family or with your spouse or children or whatever it is. We become preoccupied, so we forget. We forget about our primary objective. We forget that there's a hereafter, that there's accountability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to constantly remind us over and over again. It's very much like the GPS system. Many of us, we have GPS systems in our cars. Sometimes, depending on the type of system that you use, some of them, they give you more reminders. I know sometimes, and there's settings, you know, you can program them differently. Some of them, they keep reminding you every couple of minutes, stay left. In 1 mile, stay left. In, you know, 3/4 of a mile, keep left, keep left, keep left. And you're going straight. You know that you're going straight, but the GPS system keeps reminding you to keep left. You know, you're going to make a right in half a mile, in a few feet. You know, make a right now. Don't forget, make another right. Right? It's constantly reminding you. Because in many cases, right, if you're not aware of the area, you might be preoccupied, you know, you might be preoccupied with your kids in the car. They're yelling, they're shouting. You're trying to keep them quiet, or you're listening to the news, or you're texting, or you're talking on the phone, or you're looking at something, which you shouldn't be doing, by the way. Right? And so you become preoccupied. We need constant reminders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us in the Quran over and over again about a life after death, about the hereafter. Now when we come to the Quran discusses two very important concepts. One is what is known as the dunya, and the second is al-akhirah. The dunya and the akhirah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this life, He tells us that all of us, each and every single one of His creation, whether it's human beings, whether it's animals, whether it's plants, whatever it may be, angels, jinn, all of the creation of God is placed in this life, the dunya, and the lower life, the here and now. Dunya is the here and now, are placed in this time for a specific appointed time that's predetermined by God, which is known as what? Ajalun Musamma. The Quran talks about each and every one of us having an appointed time. Ajalun Musamma. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمًّا عِنْدَهُ. When He created us, Allah appointed a time. He said, this person, person A, this is how much time they have in this life. Person B, this much. Person 3. And the predetermined time is known with God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And when their time comes, the time for them to leave this life comes, they can neither delay 1 hour nor what? Nor go 1 hour quicklier. That's it. You can't go before, you can't go after. The time is set. And that is the time that we leave this life. Of course, when we come to our sources, the Quran, and especially the prophetic tradition and the tradition of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the authentic tradition, tells us that this predetermined time is not completely absolute. It's known by God. God knows. But the time is not predetermined where it does not change. It cannot be altered. Meaning that some people, due to certain conditions or certain reasons, they are either able to extend their life span or decrease their lifespan. And there are many traditions. One of the famous conditions, or one of the most important conditions that there's emphasis on regarding being able to decrease or increase your lifespan is what? Is known as silatul rahim. Is known as keeping good and strong ties with whom? With family members. With immediate family members and extended family members. Silatul Rahim. There's so many ahadith, so many narrations by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt that emphasize on the importance of maintaining good ties with family members and avoiding having bad ties with family members. And one of the consequences of this, according to the vast majority of these traditions, is that the person who keeps strong and good ties with their family members, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what? He extends their life. He gives them more time. And the one, on the other hand, who decides to break off ties or have poor ties with his or her family members, the consequence is what? Their lifespan could be decreased. And there's a great deal of emphasis on this, on maintaining proper relations with our family members. Islam places a great deal of emphasis on this. Sometimes, some of us, we may not want to do so for a variety of reasons. But even then, our tradition emphasizes and encourages us to do so. I read a story once about an old man. This old man had a small injury, and he needed stitches. So he had gone in stitches at the hospital, and the time had come for him to remove the stitches from his hand. So he went, and the nurse, she's the one who writes this story. She says that this man, this old man, he came in, and he entered into the hospital, into the room, and the time was 8:30 in the morning. The man had an appointment at 8:30 in the morning. So she says, we entered into the room and we began to talk. And as we were talking, I was slowly opening his stitches. And as I began, he told me, listen, if possible, I'd like for you to hurry a little bit because I have an appointment I need to get to. So the woman, she told him, you know, what is it? Is it a doctor's appointment? He said, no, I have an appointment at 9 and I need to be there. She said, so what's the appointment? He said, well, the appointment is to have breakfast with my wife. I have an appointment with my wife to have breakfast. And we've had this appointment for many years now. Every single day at 9 o'clock in the morning, we have breakfast together. So she was astonished. She said, you know, I thought this was, you know, such a beautiful thing, it's so cute. So I asked him, I said, you know, how is it that this came to be, this arrangement came to be? He said, well, listen, my wife, for the past 5 years, she's had Alzheimer's. And so I've promised to spend extra time taking care of her. So the woman, she told him, the nurse, she said, is it possible, I mean, what would happen if you were to go late? He said, you know, to tell you the truth, probably nothing. I mean, she probably wouldn't even be aware that I'm late. In fact, let me tell you something. Sometimes she doesn't even recognize me. In most cases, she doesn't recognize me. I have to go and I have to talk to her and, you know. And then we have the same thing. It's an everyday struggle. So the nurse, she tells him, she says, well, you know, what's the rush then? If she doesn't recognize you, and she doesn't know, and she, you know, she's diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she won't be able to tell. So what, I mean, what's the rush? What's the emphasis? She doesn't even recognize you. He said, yes, that's true. She may not recognize me, but I recognize her. I know her. When we come to Islam, Islam emphasizes maintaining good relationships with your family members. Even when people are bad to you, even when they're disrespectful to you, you are expected to be respectful to them, to continue to maintain strong relationships with them. Why? Because you are reflecting your character. You are reflecting the character of the Quran. You are reflecting the character of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And so this is one of the things that our tradition emphasizes on in changing this specific time, the lifespan that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, The traditions, they tell us that the dunya, the lower life, the here and now, is what? It's a preparatory stage for al-akhirah. And the akhirah literally means what? What does the akhirah, the word al-akhirah, what does it literally mean? The end. Al-akhirah. The end. The next or the end. So this life, the dunya, the lower life, is a preparatory stage for the akhirah. And we all know this. In the hadith, by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." Very beautiful hadith. He says, this life, the lower life, is what? It's mazra'a. What's a mazra'a? A mazra'a is a farm, a field. For what? For the hereafter. And thus, we are encouraged to do everything in our capacity to grow this field so that we reap the results of our hard work where? Fil akhirah. But that's not just it. This life is not only a preparatory stage for the hereafter, but even in and of itself, it can be good. When we do good or bad, the time that we spend in this life has consequences not only in the hereafter, but even in this life. And there are many traditions that discuss this, both good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in many cases that when you do good in this life, not only will you see the results in the hereafter, but you'll see it in this life. One of these examples is when we give in charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, when a person, and this is such a beautiful way that Allah tells us in the Qur'an, He says, who will give Allah a beautiful loan? Imagine, the Lord, the Creator, the Sustainer, the One who has given me every penny that I have, He tells me, who's going to give me a loan? Who's going to give me a loan? And I'll pay Him back. The loan is what? The loan is not a grant. University students know this. They don't know, maybe the difference, they might not know until they reach university. When they reach the university, they realize the difference between a grant and a loan, and they tell you, when you're applying for a loan, they tell you, hey, listen, it's in big capital letters, this is a loan, huh? It's not a grant, you have to pay it back. And sometimes you have to pay it back with a lot of interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says what? He says, who will give a loan? And in return, when I pay him back, I will pay him back multiple fold, over and over and over again. In other verses, Allah tells us, the person who does a good deed will receive 10 times the reward of that deed. And this happens. Ask, and we know this from personal lives, and we know friends and family members who have experienced this. This is not something strange. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, even in this life, it's a preparatory stage for the next life, but good can also come in this life. This is why there is a famous hadith in which the Imam, he says what? He says, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا. Do and work for this life, لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا, as if you were going to live forever. As if Angel Azrael alayhi salam, he comes to you and he says, listen, I have nothing to do with you. You're going to stay here for eternity. Of course, the investments that you're going to make are going to be great investments. The Imam says, work for this life as if you're going to live forever. Have your long-term investments, work hard. But at the same time, وَعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. And work for the hereafter as if what? As if today's your last day. As if tomorrow you're going to be departing this life. And so we know that there is a dual understanding that this life is not only good for the hereafter, not only an opportunity for us to work for the hereafter, but even for this life. However, we are cautioned not to look for the hereafter, or not to look for this life, I'm sorry, at the expense of the hereafter. When we read the dua, we say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Give us good in this life and in the hereafter. But some people, the Qur'an tells us, some people, they want this life, but what? At the expense of the hereafter. They completely forget that there's a hereafter. They do everything in their capacity to work only for this life, and this is dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نُزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. The one who wants what? The fruits. Harf is what? Is the fruits of one's labor. Again, the same example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Whoever wants the fruit of their labor of the hereafter, what are we going to do? And works hard and does their job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we'll give you, and we'll give you more. We'll give you even more than you did, if that's your objective, if that's your primary objective. And then he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. And whoever wants the delights of this life, we'll give it to him. Allah is not unjust. He doesn't say, you work hard, I'm not going to give you anything. No, Allah gives you. But if your primary objective is this life, what does Allah say? He says, I'll give you this life, and then what? وَمَا لَهُ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But as for the hereafter, there's no slice for you in the hereafter. That's it, you've had your share. There's no share for you in the hereafter, if that's your objective. However, if your objective is the hereafter, then God gives you both the hereafter and this life, as long as we work hard for it. So Allah gives us a certain amount of time in this life, and then what happens? And then the time comes. The time comes when we have to leave this life. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. A very powerful verse. Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse 185. Allah says, every soul shall taste death. You know why this is a beautiful and powerful verse? Because in this life, we know that many of us, there are certain foods that we don't like to eat. And we might live our entire life, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and we won't even taste it. But there is something that each and every one of us, regardless of our taste preferences, regardless what we like to eat and what we don't like to eat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, each and every one of you will taste one thing. And that's death. It's inevitable. Allah says, there's no running away. No running away. In chapter number 4, verse 78, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says what? He says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you may be, death will find you. And then He says what? He says, وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. Even if you are in lofty towers, strong towers, there's a program on National Geographic. It's called Doomsday Preppers. Have any of you seen it or heard of it? If you have the chance, see it or at least read about it. You don't necessarily have to see it. The program is about, you know, as according to the website, the program is about ordinary Americans who basically do everything in their capacity to do what? To prepare for doomsday, for the end of the world. And go and see what they do, the elaborate schemes that they do. The safe houses and the bunkers and the food and the gadgets and all of these things in order to do what? In order to escape the end of the world, so that when all of the zombies they come, they have a place to hide. So that when, you know, a huge tornado or an earthquake or what have you, whatever happens, they're prepared. They have enough food, they have a shelter, they have, you know, they have a bomb shelter just in case, God forbid, there's, you know, nuclear war or what have you. Doomsday preppers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. Spend all of your money. Go and do everything you can. In the end, death will come to you. There's a time that each and every one of us has to leave. And we all know this for a fact. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. There's a story that's mentioned during the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. As is well known, the Quran and the prophetic tradition tells us that Prophet Sulaiman, he was a king, he was a prophet, he was a messenger, and what? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a large amount of power. Wisdom, Allah had given him great wisdom and great power and influence, to the point where he could communicate with the animals, to the point where certain natural events were under his authority. Allah tells us in the Quran that the wind was under the authority of Prophet Sulaiman. He would command the wind. And so one day, being a king and being a judge, one day Prophet Sulaiman was in his court, and there was a case, and there were people sitting. As he was sitting in his court, a man came in. He entered into the courtroom. He waited for a little bit. He looked at someone for a few moments. He stared at him. He began to stare at him for a few moments. And then he turned around and he left. This man who was stared at after the court adjourned, he came to Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam and he told him, "O Prophet of Allah, do you know who that person is that came into your courtroom?" He told him, "No." He told him, "Do you know who this person is?" He told him, "Why are you asking?" He says, "Because when he came in, he was staring me down. He was looking at me and he was, you know, staring at me for a little bit." Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told him, "My friend, this is Angel Azrael. This is the angel of death." So the man, he became terrified. He told him, "So, you know, why was he staring at me? There's so many people. Why is he looking at me? I mean, do I look nice or is there something on my face?" So Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told him, "Well, you know, when the angel of death comes, he comes for a certain mission, a certain objective." So this man who was very pious, the tradition says he was a very pious man, he told Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told him, "O Prophet of Allah, because Allah has bestowed upon you power, I want you to take me far away from this place. Take me all the way to where?" "To India." And so Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he commanded the wind to take this man all the way from where they were, which I'm assuming is somewhere in the Middle East where Prophet Sulaiman was, all the way to what? Non-stop? All the way to Bombay. To India. After a few days, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he met with the angel of death. He saw him. And he asked him. He told him, "O Azrael, the other day you came into my court. You came, you waited a little bit, you turned, you know, you didn't even have any chai, you didn't even have any tea or anything. Quickly you came in and you turned around and you left." Angel Azrael, he told him, "Yes, because I was commanded to come and to take the life of that man." He told him, "So why did you leave?" He said, "Because God had commanded me to take the life of this man, and the destination was where? Was India. I came and I saw this man, he's sitting here. And so I figured, you know, there might be a problem in the system or something. Let me go figure it out." He ended up doing his job. Within a few moments, he took the life of this man who went to India. There's no running away. When our time comes, our time comes. And so death is inevitable. And the Quran tells us that death is a transition from this life, dunya, to al-akhirah, to the next life. It's a transitional phase. And after death, there is a number of stages where our time is up. So inshallah, we will try to continue this discussion, this very important discussion, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, in the upcoming weeks. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the strength, to give us the ability to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our minds, to give us the strength to remember and not to be preoccupied by this life. To remember that we are responsible, that we have an objective in this life, that we have a mission. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in being successful in our lives and to help us in allowing our spouses and our children and our family members and friends to also be successful in this life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins and our shortcomings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a full and speedy recovery to all of those who are sick, those who are ill, especially our dear community members who are here, especially our dear Hajar Amir Rafati. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a full and speedy recovery. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of all of those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the appearance of our Imam. وَإِلَىٰ أَرْوَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ نُهْدِي جَمِيعًا ثَوَابَ سُورَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ